1 Samuel chapter number 3. Let's all stand this morning for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for just allowing us to gather together this great country. Lord, we're going to celebrate its birthday this week, and the opportunity, the freedom we still enjoy of just gathering together, opening the Bible. Lord, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. God, we thank you for those things are here in America, that we can preach the word of God without fear of arrest. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for those that still want to hear the Bible. Lord, we look around, our hearts are moved and humbled. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these today. Now, God, they came because they wanted to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, you'd please speak to each and every one of us. Teach us something today, or remind us of something maybe that we have already learned but we needed to hear again. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would move in some hearts, perhaps to make some decision, some area of their life, Lord. If there's anyone here not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd call their name this morning, Lord. Make it clear, make it pointed, make it personal. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to respond to your call. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was at church camp this week also. I wasn't at the same church camp our kids were. We had our teens down in Corydon, Indiana. I was up in Rockford, Illinois, preaching a teen camp while our kids were at teen camp. And of course, on the way to the meeting, I get a call from my oldest daughter telling me that she's been to the doctor, and that Tuesday morning she is going in and they're going to take the baby C-section. And here I'm away, heading out of town, and I get this call. Talk about a torn grandpa. That was, the grandpa part of me just wanted to turn the car around, head home. The preacher part of me knew I had to do what the Lord was telling me to do, but I'll tell you, that was tough. And so I got to camp that night, and I was talking to the young people, and I mentioned that in the morning, Lord willing, everything went well, I'd be a grandpa. And anyway, in the course of the message and the interaction with the kids during the introduction, some of them wanted to have some input as to what to name my new granddaughter. Which, of course, immediately I jumped on. I thought that was a great idea. I mean, every mother's dream is to have a group of teenagers at a church camp decide what to name their child. Some of you mothers that are confused, and maybe you're torn, and we have some expecting, you still haven't decided. Listen, the best thing to do is just call a church camp and ask the teenagers to turn in names, and they will. Matter of fact, I told them. And I called the man. I was excited. I called her that evening. I said, "Listen, are you still on schedule to have the baby tomorrow?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, listen, don't name it." And she said, "Don't name it." I said, "No, we're taking care of that up here." I said, "I told them tomorrow morning when I have the service, if they'll just leave any suggestions on the pulpit, we'll sort through them, we'll vote on them, and we'll decide, and then I'll be able to call her in the morning and tell her what to name her child." Now, this sounds perfectly reasonable to me. and maybe that's scary, but that made really a lot of sense at the time until I started going through the names that got turned in. And so I couldn't bring you all of them. There was probably 50 names. So what I did to save time that morning, I just went through and circled the ones that I was especially impressed with. And then I allowed the teens to vote on them, and we narrowed it down. And then we called her. When we finally decided on the one we thought that she ought to be called. Now, my daughter's already had the baby. She's in recovery from surgery, and I'm in the pulpit in Rockford, Illinois, and I pull out my cell phone and call her, and I was hoping that maybe she was sedated enough that she'd just say yes. You know, she was still drugged up enough that no matter what I said, she'd agree to it. So here's some of the suggestions giving for names. Now, some of you girls that are pregnant, you really need to get a piece of paper and a pencil out. We could help you right here. Some of them I thought was interesting. Some of them were nice. Some of them were, well, you'll see. Number one, Blossom Ray. What? You didn't like Blossom? I thought that was kind of cool. Blossom Ray. This one was a little disturbing. Hillary Hussein. Yeah, that was a little disturbing. Hillary Hussein, although the two names do seem to go together there, you know. How about this? Trella, T-R-E-L-L-A, Trella Jean. Hope Destiny. Come on, Hope Destiny. That's pretty cool. Then I really like this one. Somebody turned in the name Flip Flop. Flip-flop Killian. Think about it. Flip-flop Killian. Flip-flop. You could call her Flip. I think that's pretty cool. Hey, Flip, come here. She's having a bad day. Call her Flop. Teenagers, man. Teenagers. That was one of the top vote getters, too. How about Fantasia Brooke? Fantasia Brooke. I kind of like this. Joy Bell. Joy Bell. You know, Joy Bell. You can nickname her Ding Dong. Joy Bell Killian. Now, this one was, I actually like the first name, but the middle name ruins it. They actually broke down T as if you'd name a girl T-E-A, T. Okay, T shirt. T-shirt. Now, I haven't got to the top vote getter yet. Then we had, now this is funny. You have to kind of see the way it's written. It's. You would have fit right in that camp up there, JK. This one's spelled, the first name is Rain. It's R-E-I-G-N. Rain, Rain, B-O, Rainbow. Rainbow. Mackenzie Jane. That's not too bad, is it? Mackenzie Jane. Now, the top vote getter of all the ones turned in, once we voted on all of them, the one that I had to call and suggest to my daughter was turned in by a little black boy, seventh grade, had little wire rim glasses like that. Cool little kid. He was a cool little kid. Great personality, hilarious. And he turned this name in, no middle name. You know, if you're famous, you don't need a middle name. It's just, this is the name, Turtle. I kind of like it. Turtle Killian. Turtle. Well, I thought it was a joke, and then when I threw it out there, they all voted on it. So I call my daughter up, and I said, "We got the name. Are you ready for this?" She's kind of, yeah, I think so. And I said, are you sitting down? No, Dad, I'm laying down, all right?
I said, this is it. Now, you really need to be open-minded. You really need to be open-minded right now. Let me say the whole name, and then you just let it sink in before you give an answer, okay? Turtle Killian. And I just hear kind of silence. Then I hear this laughing, you know? She said, I got her on speakerphone. I said, be careful what you say. You're on speakerphone. And she says to the kids, my sweet daughter, she says, well, I'll pray about it. How many of you think she prayed about that at all? I don't either. Now, I don't know about you, but we live in an age where it seems like everybody wants to come up with an unusual name for their child. Or you may like your name. You may... I'm going to nickname you Turtle if you keep it up, buddy. I'll just have everybody start calling J.K. Turtle for a couple weeks here. So. You may like your name. You may not like your name. You may wish you had some input on what your parents named you. But let me say this. God knows your name. God knows your name. And the first thing the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning was this. No matter what your name is, however unusual it is, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, number one, God knows your name. I want all of you to get that. Oh, Brother Jerry, nah, you don't understand. God's way up there in heaven, and God's got this whole universe to run, and God's busy, and there's presidents and potentates, and there's important people, and there's... And you know, who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You're somebody that God created. You're somebody who God loves. You are somebody that God knows so well that He tells us in the Bible that He knows the exact number of the hairs on your head. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows your social security number. He knows your phone number. Listen, He knows everything about you. He knows your dreams. He knows your hopes. He knows your greatest fears. He knows your greatest burden. And listen to me, God's just not a God just way up there somewhere. He's one that is up close and personal and loves you and knows you and is concerned about you, and He knows your name. You may be here today and you may say, Brother Jerry, I don't think that there's 10 people in this church that really knows my name. You know what? You might be right, but I guarantee you this, there's a God here at this church that knows your name, and He knows everything about you. He created you. The Bible says in Jeremiah that from your mother's womb He formed you. Do you realize, folks, if the Bible is true, and it certainly is, that means, I don't believe Jeremiah was an exception. I believe the hands of Almighty God form every baby in the womb of their mother. That's what, by the way, I'm not preaching on this, but that is why abortion is such a wicked, horrible, sinful thing. Because, folks, listen to me, when somebody goes into that sacred place of a woman's body and destroys a child, they're taking a child right out of the hands of Almighty God. And you're not an accident. You're not an uh-oh. Listen, God, from eons past, planned that when you would be born, the exact moment, He's given you a certain amount of days in this life. He watches over you, cares for you, loves you. Matter of fact, He loved you so much that He sent His Son from heaven to die on the cross for your sins. He's given you an open whosoever invitation to receive Jesus Christ. He wants you to spend eternity after this life with Him in heaven forever and ever and ever. He wants to begin construction. If you're not saved, if you get saved today, the orders for a construction on a mansion would go out immediately. He wants to build a mansion for you in heaven. He's creating a city with golden streets. And listen, there won't be any sickness or death or loneliness or hurt or any of those things. God loves you. He created you with the intent and purpose that you would be saved and spend all eternity with Him in heaven one of these days. I want to start out by saying this. God knows your name. Now, let me give you the second thing that the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning. Not only does God know your name, but from time to time, God is going to call your name. God is going to call your name. Here we have in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, the beautiful, beautiful story of how God in heaven spoke to a child, the Bible says. This is a little boy by the name of Samuel. In verse number 4, it says, and the Lord called Samuel. In verse number 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. In verse number 8, and the Lord called
Samuel again the third time. In verse number 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Now, Brother Jerry, what are you saying? Are you telling me that there's going to be a point in time where I'm at my in my house and maybe I'm alone in my room and I'm going to audibly hear God in heaven speak and I'm going to hear a out loud with my human ears voice calling my name? I'm going to have him come once, twice, three times, call on the fourth time, two times. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that when God calls your name, it will be in your heart just as real as when he spoke to Samuel. How many Christians here would agree with that, that your preacher's telling the truth? Amen? Now listen to me. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about a God calling your name. And I want you to look at this where he called Samuel's name. And I want to go over this with you because I believe sometimes that God is calling our name and we're not even really aware of what's going on. Just like Samuel was a bit confused, sometimes when God is trying to personally contact an individual at first, maybe early in your Christian life or before you're even saved, you may have a hard time even understanding what's happening when God is calling your name. Let me start out by saying this. The calling of your name may be perplexing. It may be perplexing. And here we see Samuel, when God is calling his name, Samuel's confused. You see, this had never happened before in Samuel's life. So Samuel didn't really understand what was going on, and there was some confusion in his life about the fact that God was calling him, who was calling him, and what exactly was going on. You know, I can relate to this. We see Samuel, first of all, when he hears his name, he runs to the other room and asks Levi, the priest, if he's calling him. He just assumed, naturally, as most of us would, that if we're hearing our name called, that somebody must be, another human being must be involved in this, and somebody is calling our name, and so he went to talk to Eli, and it wasn't Eli that was calling his name, and Eli really didn't even know what he was talking about. So there was confusion on the part of Samuel. There was confusion on the part of the man that was mentoring Samuel. And folks, let me just say this. The call of God sometimes is perplexing. Sometimes it really is confusing. I appreciate the fact that this story revolves around around Samuel while he was still a child. We have in the auditorium here, we have probably some that's younger. We have fifth graders on up that come into the auditorium. We have children's church and primary church and a junior church for kids that are fourth grade and younger. But let me just say this. When I first started going to church, and we first started going as a family regularly to church, I was 5 years old. And you know what? I began to hear, let me just use that word, I began to hear something in my heart while I was at church, and I didn't really understand what was going on. A lot of times when I'm preaching here, at the end of an invitation, when we have the folks bow their head and close their eyes, I may say something along the lines of, folks, maybe this morning you're here as a visitor, or you haven't had a church background. And you know what? As I was preaching, there was something unusual happening in your heart. You really are having a hard time figuring out what's going on. And I'll say to them, let me tell you what that is. God is trying to communicate with you. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to help them get through that time of confusion that I went through when I knew that when I sat in certain services, there was something going on inside of my heart. I mean, listen, I never felt that way anywhere else. I never felt that way before starting to go to church. But all I know is when I would go to church and hear the Bible preached, there was many times when I felt this stirring. I felt this drawing. I felt like there was something going on, and I began to understand that God was trying to communicate with me. So listen, if you're here without Christ or you're here and you haven't been going to church very long, you say, Brother Jerry, thank you for that. You know, I've been trying to figure this out. I'll read my Bible sometime, or I'll listen to a preacher on the radio, or I will be in the church service here. Or maybe you just came from a Sunday school class and you sit there and the teacher's teaching and you're thinking, you're kind of looking around wondering, is what's happening to me happening to everybody? Well, maybe not in that particular lesson, but I guarantee you, it does from time to time happen to everybody. Yes, sir.
You know why? Because God, boy, this is exciting. God in heaven has a desire to communicate with each and every one of us. And there's going to be times when he calls your name. And at first it may be confusing. I remember when Pastor Ross preached here just a while back, and he was talking about that even after he was saved. He knew God was communicating with him and talking to him, dealing with him about something, but he didn't really understand what it was. Remember the story where he said he went out into the yard after dark and late at night and looked up to heaven and said out loud, screamed up at God, "What do you want?" Have you ever been there, Christian? Have you ever been where you know God's communicating something to you, but you know what? You don't know exactly what he's trying to get across to you, or what he's trying to get you to do, or what exactly the message is. And let me just say this, folks. We see in Samuel's life here that he was perplexed. He was a bit confused at first. So I wanted to share with you that that's part of the call of God. Now, sometimes not. Sometimes God, from the moment he starts speaking, it's crystal clear what he wants. But sometimes he works on us a while and tries to get us to the point where maybe before he tells us what, he wants to make sure that we're willing to do it. Now, number two, the call of your name may not only be at times perplexing, but let me say this. The calling of your name will be, it absolutely will be personal. It will be personal. I like the fact that when God called Samuel's name, he dealt with him very personally. Now, young people, listen to me, and everybody listen to me just a second. Sometimes we'll go to a church service and we'll see God moving in people's lives. Thank God, God is a God who deals with individuals. Now, I've been to services where we said, man, there was a great moving and God spoke to the vast majority of the crowd. This week when I was preaching camp, and I guarantee you probably this week at that camp, there were some services where the dealing of the Holy Spirit was personal, but with many people, and maybe there's a great movement of God. But let me say this. All a great movement of God is just God still dealing with everyone individually and then responding at the same time. Now, God's not going to come down with a message for the congregation or for your family. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come down and want to communicate directly with you. He wants to talk with you. So the call of God is very personal. Now, I've been in services where I've sat there and I've been with other... I remember when I was a teenager sometimes, I'd be in a whole row of teenage boys. And there'd be a particular service where it was a good service and it was good preaching and I learned some things. But man, all of a sudden, three guys down, I'd see this guy and God would deal with him personally. And man, he'd bust out of there and go forward, and man, that would be the service he'd made some key decision. God used that service to personally call him and deal with him in a particular area. Then there'd be other services I've set in where I knew God was doing that with me. And you know what? When that's happening to you, sometimes you think it should be happening to everybody else. But you know what? Listen for your name. Listen for your name, because God deals with people personally. He deals with them personally. And he's going to come to you at times in your life. Listen, when I was a small boy, and I was perplexed for a while, and I didn't understand what was happening. But let me tell you, pretty soon, the call went from being perplexing to personal, and I realized God was speaking directly to me about my need to be saved. And you know what? God will deal with your heart individually about your need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As your personal Savior. He's going to call your name. And if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me say this. Listen for your name. Listen for your name. Preacher, you're here, you're up there talking about this, trying to explain this. And man, while you're doing it, it's happening in my heart. Good. Isn't it great to know that God wants to communicate with you? And he may be dealing with you this morning about salvation. You say, preacher, what did you do after God dealt with me for some time? And I at first didn't know what was happening. I realized what he wanted. Listen, There came a time where I went forward in a church service and just said, I want to be saved. And if you're here this morning, God's calling your name for salvation, respond to that. Christian, if God's personally dealing with you about another decision in your life, deal with that. Be glad that God deals with you personally. I quote this song a lot, but I love it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'll tell you something. I don't want to go to church service after service, week after week, and watch God dealing with other people and never deal with me. Listen, I think there's two reasons to come to the altar sometimes. Number one, because God's dealing with you. Number two, because God hadn't dealt with you in a long time. Honestly, I think if I went too long and God didn't deal with me about something, I'd just go on up anyway, kneel down and say, Lord, is there something in my life that's preventing you from contacting? Is there some iniquity in my life? Lord, how come you haven't spoken to me in so long? I don't want to live a life that where I don't hear the voice of God. I don't want to be able to come to church and have God not do some things in my life. Man alive, listen, I went and preached a week of teen camp, but I promise you, God did as much in my heart in this past week that He did with any teenager there. And I want God to call my name. I want Him to call my name, and I want to hear it personally. I want to know that He wants to teach me something. Now let me give you something else about the call of God. When God calls your name, it may be perplexing, but it will be personal. And let me give you this. Brother Jerry, how do I know that God's calling me? How do I know it's Him? Let me give you this. The call of God will be persistent. Persistent. I've already gone over these verses, but let's review again. Look at verse 4. Notice this, that the Lord called Samuel, and He said, here am I, and He ran to Eli. Look at verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Verse number 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And then we get to the fourth call, the fourth time that He called in verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood, and I like this. Notice this next phrase, folks. And called as at other times. Notice this. Not only is it persistent, but it's pointed. Samuel He called the first time. Samuel the second time. Samuel the third time. Then once He figured out what was going on, God said, Samuel, Samuel. You know what? Five times He called His name. It was persistent and it was pointed. Brother Jerry, how do you know when God's dealing with you one-on-one about something? One of the things that you'll notice is this. God's persistent. God's persistent. Yes, He is. I remember the night that God called me to preach. And I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm not going to try to say it was right or say it was wrong. I'm just going to tell you what I did. But we met here at the church, I believe, and left together as a group and went over to a church, sister church at the time, and they had a special service. And during the invitation, that special service on a Tuesday night, was the first time in my life that I've really believed that I felt and knew that God was calling me into the gospel ministry. And the message that night, the presentation that night was not really one where it was directed to try to get people to surrender to the ministry. During the invitation, I'll be honest with you, I was a little shocked that all of a sudden I was becoming absolutely convinced that God was calling me into the ministry. Now, maybe I should have just stepped out and went. But folks, when God's calling you into the ministry, you better be sure that God's calling you into the ministry. I did not go that night. Now, let me say this. I did not go. The reason I didn't go wasn't because of rebellion. It wasn't because I wasn't willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. Because at that time, God had brought me to a point where I was willing. And He knew I was willing to do whatever He wanted me to do. But I wasn't sure. I didn't want to make a mistake. And so that night I went home, drove the bus home, went to my room, got on my knees, opened the Bible, and began to read the Bible and pray. And you know what? The call came again, only it intensified. I prayed about it, tried to go to sleep that night, tossed and turned most of the night. that time I was working for a carpenter. We were framing houses. I got up real early, got in my car, drove to where I was working. And when the sun came up, we were framing, brother. And so we got out there. I threw my tool belt on, and I'm sitting out there, and we're framing this house up. And finally, about 2.5-3 hours in, they called a break time, and one of the guys took off of town to get some coffee and bring it back for everybody. And everybody went down to this place where they kind of gathered, and I stayed up on the deck of the house. The sun hadn't been up for very long. I remember I had my tool belt out. I remember I had my hand on the hammer on my belt. I remember looking at the sun come up, and all morning long, folks, it seemed like every single time that I'd drive a nail that morning, I could hear God saying, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a preacher. It just kept intensifying and intensifying. And during that break time, while the men were down there and I was up there by myself and I was watching the sun come up a little bit there, I said to myself, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel. Now, it was Wednesday, and this is what I said to the Lord. You know, on Wednesday night, there's not as many people at church as there is on Sunday. So this is my plan, okay? I'm you know, kind of negotiating with God here. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wait till Sunday morning, and then I'll go forward and tell everybody I'm going to surrender to preach. So I thought that'll make God happy. So I went to work, back to work, finished the day out, came home, cleaned up, got ready, headed down here to the church. And man, from the time I got into the church building all through the service, man alive, it intensified and intensified and intensified. Let me tell you something. By the invitation, I couldn't have stayed in my pew if I wanted to. Listen, God is going to speak to you that plainly about some things in your life. It may not be a call to preach. But let me say this. When God goes to dealing with you about something, He's going to stay after you. He's going to stay with you. Well, Brother Jerry, I've been feeling bad about this sin in my life, and I think God's maybe convicted me. Oh, well, just, you know, hang in there. You'll find out He is. He's not going to let up. He's not going to let up. Brother Jerry, I think God's been wanting me to join a ministry or start going soul winning. You know, but I've been kind of waiting to make sure it's God. Well, first of all, I'm not sure you even have to pray about that. That'd be a good thing just to do, amen? But just hang around. Because He'll keep intensifying, 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 intensifying. Listen, the one thing about the voice of God is this. When God is calling you, He's going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on until there's no doubt in your mind that this is of God and I have got to do it because I'm going to drop over dead. I can't breathe. I got to do this thing. And you know what? God will keep coming back to you. Call of God, when God calls your name, it may be perplexing, it'll always be personal. Folks, it'll always be persistent and it'll always be pointed. You know what? When God starts dealing with your heart, maybe at first you may not know what He's doing, but you're going to find out. Here's what I have found out in my life. If you'll simply just say, Holy Spirit of God, I know you're trying to deal with me about something. I know you're trying to speak to me about an area of my life. I feel you're moving in my life. Please be pointed. Please tell me, God, is there something? I mean, I don't know how many times I've prayed this. Lord, I know you're doing something in my life. Is there something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? And you know what? I'll no longer more get that out of my mouth. And if that's the case, it's like the Holy Spirit take His finger and go, boom! Yes, there is, and this is what it is, and I'll know. Sometimes I'll ask that question and I don't hear anything. Lord, is there something you want me to do, Lord, that I'm not doing? And if that's it, I guarantee you, boom, He'll let you know. Lord, is there something I need to surrender that I haven't surrendered? And you know what, folks? If you'll be open and honest with the Holy Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit will be very pointed in your life. I look around at the young people that's in our church. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so proud that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're here. Whether you rode in a car or rode in on a bus, I'm just glad you're here. You know why we want you to keep coming? Because if you'll keep coming and if you'll begin to listen with spiritual ears, God will call your name. God will speak to you. Teenagers, how many of you went to camp? Raise your hand. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you say, Brother Jerry, in one of the services while I was there, everything you just said this morning is absolutely true. Maybe not in an audible voice, you know. The whole camp didn't hear, Taylor Sagersee. You know, they didn't hear anything like that, you know. But I know what you're talking about. Sometime while I was at camp in one of the services, God personally and persistently and very pointedly called my name and challenged me to make a decision in some area of my life. Would you stand to your feet if that was true? Would you stand to your feet if that was true? Amen. Aren't you glad that God still calls these kids by name? You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you for being willing to stand. Amen. I hope every time he did, I hope you answered. I hope every time he did, you understood that was God. You say, oh, Brother Locke was awesome. I know it. He's a great preacher. But let me tell you something. A preacher can only preach, but it takes God to call a person by name. Yes. Folks, I'm preaching to a group, but God's dealing with individuals. And aren't you glad that God takes that much interest in me and you? That he knows my name and he calls my name. Let me just end by saying this. God wants you to answer. Boy, Eli gave some of the most just sage advice, wise advice here. When Eli realized what was going on, he said in verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear. Now, let me just give you the same advice. Young person, middle-aged person, older person, it doesn't matter. If you're there and you hear God speak, the greatest answer you can give is speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak. Lord, tell me what you want. And I'll listen as a servant would listen to his master. You command me and I'll go. You correct me and I'll change. You tell me to do something and I'll do it. You tell me to go somewhere and I'll go. Whatever God tells you, get in the habit of just immediately saying, speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Listen for your name. Learn to listen for your name. Oh, if we could just come to church and decide we're going to listen for our name. If we just read the Bible in the morning and say, God, I'm just not wanting to spend time reading the Bible. I want to hear my name this morning. God, if there's something you needed to say to me, say it to me. How many be here this morning? You say, preacher, I'm here, and you talked about being saved, knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life when I've been saved. If someone was to ask me the question, if I was to die right now, do I know for sure I'd go to heaven? I couldn't say with any certainty that I know that. And while you were preaching about when you were small and God was speaking to your heart about being saved, I felt like God also was speaking to my heart this morning. Let me say this. This is one of those decisions you don't want to put off. If you know that you're a sinner, you know that you're lost, you know that God's dealing with your heart, you ought to be saved this morning. Don't put this decision off. This isn't a call to preach type decision. Let's wait and make sure. This is a God may be calling you because this could be your last day on earth. Don't ever put off salvation. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. How many... be anybody in here this morning, say, preacher, you know, the honest truth is I've never been saved. God is calling my name this morning. He's dealing with my heart, and I know that I need to be saved. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out loud. I won't come get you, but I want to pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? Just real quickly, stick your hand up. Preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved, but I feel like God's calling my name. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? I'm not saved, but I really feel like God's calling my name this morning. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Put your hand down. Or somebody else. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to know. I feel like God's calling my name. Would you raise your hand? How many say, Brother Jerry, I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved. I have that assurance that I am saved. And this morning, God spoke to my heart. Maybe about something I mentioned, maybe about something I didn't mention, but God is calling me. He's been dealing with me about some things. I've known it for some time. And man, his voice is strong this morning. Would you raise your hand? Maybe it's something you need to be giving up. Maybe it's something you need to do. Maybe it's a decision you just need to stop putting off and you just need to make. God bless you all over the church house. Lord, thank you for being a God that still cares about the individual. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And God, thank you for communicating with us. And I pray, Lord, that whatever you are saying personally, individually, to these folks that raised their hand, help them to make that decision to just do what you have been telling them to do. And God, help them to step out by faith, nail it down, do it, and not look back. There's somebody here, Lord, who's without Christ as their Savior. May they respond to the invitation, nail that down, know for sure that they're saved this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.